Discourse number 6, October 20, 1932, Saint Germain. Invocation. Thou mighty infinite presence, creator of all that is, always majestic in thy conquering presence, we give power only to thee. We forever withdraw all power we have ever given to outer things, and stand serene in thy majestic presence, love, wisdom, and power, knowing that I am here and I am there, and I am everywhere. Then I am serene in thy majestic presence, manifesting thy love, wisdom, power, and judgment, that I have thy foresight and see far beyond human possibilities. I give praise and thanks that I now and forever acknowledge and accept only thy mighty victorious presence in all things, in my life, my world, my mind, and my body. I give praise that I have placed about each form thy magic circle, invincible, impenetrable to anything unlike thee. I stand guard over my life, body, mind, world, and affairs, that nothing manifest unlike thee. We thank thee. The Discourse. Keep reminding the outer activity, the outer consciousness, that when I say I am using the infinite God power. When I say I have set this power into motion to successfully accomplish whatever the idea is which has been held in consciousness, or whatever idea the attention has been held upon. Sincere students should not forget this for a single hour, until the truth becomes so fixed in the outer activity that it automatically acts. Therefore you will see how perfectly ridiculous it is to say, I am sick, I am financially embarrassed, or that there seems to be a lack of anything. I tell you that you cannot possibly be affected if you will hold fast to this idea. Then use it. When you seem to have a cold, you do not need to be told to use a handkerchief. Then why do you need to be reminded that the outer activity has but one power by which to move itself about, and that is the I Am Presence, God in you? The unfortunate thing about sincere students is that they will not meditate often enough upon this truth for its marvelous presence to come into activity. Know that I am the majestic, victorious presence filling all official places, and know it with certainty in your minds. If any of the students will sincerely take hold and use this, such an one will be blessed for so doing. Guard yourself in the outer contact constantly, that you do not unknowingly accept the appearance of things or the fear of so-called financiers. God governs your world, your home, your business, and that is all with which you are concerned. Do not ever fear that you are running amok with your imagination when you sense and feel the nearness of the full manifestation of the mighty individualized presence. Rejoice! Believe in the mighty presence that holds in its embrace everything in this world that you can desire or use. You are not dependent on the outer things. With a joyous entering into this mighty power and presence which contains all, do you not see how you would be provided for if everything were cut loose? I want you to feel, joyously accept, and with all your being, know that the power of precipitation is no myth. It is real. Those who enter into this feeling deep enough will have the precipitation of anything they want. Children have been chastised for seeing angelic beings and for manifesting an inner perception. It is the parent of that child who should be chastised, and well at that, for daring to interfere with the God-given freedom of that child. If grown-ups would live more in the conscious imaging and acceptance of these mighty and great presences, of whose very existence most of humanity doubts, they would feel their presence and uplifting, sustaining intelligence. my beloved ones. If suddenly we find ourselves needing courage or strength, I am there, surging forth, supplying this instantly. If I need harmony in my mind or body, then I am there, supplying it instantly, and I do not need to wait. Do not give a thought to the world or individuals who do not understand these things. Go right on, rejoicing in the visible, active presence, precipitated into your life and use of whatever you wish. Our outer common sense, so-called, must tell us that unless we expect, accept, and rejoice in the presence of the thing we want, how, in the name of God, can we expect to have it? The poor, insignificant outer self struts itself about saying, I am too important to give attention to these childlike fairy stories. Well, let me say to you that one day the individuals who say this will be only too glad to listen to those fairy stories and fill their minds with those ideas that they may come forth. In every instance in the outer contact of the world of business, whenever there is a negative condition that seems to touch your world in any way, instantly take your firm stand. I am the precipitation and visible presence of whatever I desire, and no man can interfere with it. This is a mighty truth. When I speak of precipitation in this manner, I do not only mean through the invisible, but through any channel, for all is a precipitation. It is only a little difference in activity. When I recognize who I am, then I have entered into the great silence, wherein is God's greatest activity. This recognition should bring great revelations to the individual, if he holds to it with joyous acceptance. In your outer experience, the use of any activity develops your strength to greater and greater efficiency, does it not? If one can apply this in the outer activity, do you not see how much more important it is to the inner activity? The more you put it into use, the greater the power you put into it. No, you can do it with the inner spiritual things far greater and quicker than in the outer things, for with spirit the power acts instantly. There is no waiting when the I am acts. The fact that you give credence to development of the muscular system by youth should make you realize that the same effort given to the exercise and recognition of the inner power would naturally produce far greater results. For instance, man is supposed to perform certain physical exercises in order to develop his muscles. I have, in my students, many, many times enabled them to produce powerful muscles in a symmetrical, beautiful body without having taken a single exercise to do it. It is the same with the exercise of your inner faculties in bringing forth the inner power. In all development, either of the inner or the outer, the first part of the exercise is mental. Here we must know that there is only one power and energy to use, and that is from the I Am God presence in you. Therefore, the exercise of your inner faculties is necessarily mental, called mental, but I say to you, it is God in action, because you cannot form a thought without the intelligence and energy of God to do it. Therefore, your mental activity is the energy of God in action. Now you see how easy and possible it is to make a strong physical body without lifting your hand in physical exercise to do it. Most scientific, medical, and men of physical culture will deny this, but I assure you it is only because they have not become aware of or thought deeply upon the energy or power that is acting. Because no kind of activity can take place except by the use of this inner energy and power. Individuals allow the impingement of doubts and fears to rush in and overwhelm them when it comes to the recognition of these great faculties, which are free for their use at any time. You see, they are but submerged, as it were, by the outer, like a cork that has been pushed beneath the water, which, when released by a little effort, pops up to the surface into use. I must say it is positively pitiful when earnest students spend so many years straining at intervals to gain the use of these faculties, and then, because they do not operate immediately, relapse into a state of inactivity until something spurs them on, and then relapse again. Persistent, determined recognition of this I Am presence will take you through anything to absolute certain accomplishment, unless you lay down on the job. I see, and especially at this time, a goodly number of individuals who, with a little encouragement and description of the simple use of these faculties, will quickly leap into their freedom, and especially those who have this verbal instruction and the radiation that goes with it. Is it not appalling that sons and daughters of God will submit to the binding claims of limitation, when with persistent effort and determination they would open the door and step through into this great inner chamber, filled with such dazzling light, jewels, gold, and substance, from which every kind of food in the universe can be precipitated? Then, with this truth plainly before them, these individuals still hesitate, through unbelief, to step through, take this scepter, and be free. Beloved ones, again I say to you, sing the great melody of the I Am conquering presence. Sing it in your hearts continuously. Feel it with all your ability. Be determined to use it. Hold fast to that determination, and the knowledge and the way will steadily open to give you that mastery, which is your eternal freedom. Just keep joyously knowing that you are through the veil now. Whatever mastery the individual has gained over himself, his affairs, or his world, is always and should be a sacred chamber, an inner sanctuary upon which no other inquiring individual may intrude. No one may attain mastery through the desire of the outer to find the mastery within another. To seek, find, and apply the law of one's own being is the student's sure road to mastery, and only when the individual has attained it himself may he really understand what true mastery is. There is only one mastery to be sought, and that is over one's own outer self. One might walk beside a master for years and not discover it until his own inner faculties revealed the fact. One might live in the same house with a master for years and not know it, until some crisis arose to be handled, and thus the real power be revealed. For a master to discuss or disclose his own attainment of mastery would be to dissipate his own forces, and may not be done at any time. If a student be fortunate enough to have a beautiful experience, and then discuss it with others, there is usually so much doubt poured at him that he soon begins to doubt himself. It is really funny how convincing someone else's argument can be. If a student will listen to the argument of someone else, why not be at least as fair to his own God self, and listen to its power and good as expressed through the inner experience? The moment doubt begins to enter, more doubt rushes in. The same with the I Am. If you put your attention upon it, it rushes forth more and more. Where the conscious attention is fixed, there the energy pours. Dear ones, do you not see, when you want something revealed or to be inspired in some way, do you not see I Am that? The moment you say I Am, you set in motion this power that has inherent within it all these faculties. It has all substance, and must take on whatsoever form the attention of the mind is fixed upon. The I Am is the fathomless mind of God. In reaching for understanding, the average student is but contacting the recurring memory of that which has been, instead of going into the heart of God and bringing forth that which never has been. Individuals and students many times do not and will not realize that there have been many civilizations of vast attainments which are entirely unknown to the outer world today. Atlantis and Lemuria, or the land of Mu, as credited by a few today, are but fragments of the great civilizations that have been. To do unusual things. The students who wish to do this take the determined stand. I am the heart of God, and I now bring forth ideas and accomplishments which have never been brought forth before. Consider only, I am that which I wish to bring forth. The I Am Presence is the heart of God. You are immediately in the great silence the moment you say, I am. If you recognize that you are the I Am, then whatever you declare is manifest that moment. To believe is to have faith a thing is true. There is an interlocking of belief and faith. In the beginning, a thing is belief, and if held to, it becomes faith. If you do not believe a thing is true, you cannot bring it into manifestation. If you do not believe I am a thing, how can it act for you? The old saying, there is nothing, good or bad, but thinking makes it so. It's an absolute truth. When you know that God's energy comes forth into the individual, absolutely pure and perfect, then you must realize that it is the individual who requalifies that energy and imposes his own impure quality upon it. This pure God energy is projected forth by the conscious effort of the individual, and he must impose some kind of a quality upon it, for that is his privilege as a creator. Everyone is constantly qualifying this energy, which is pouring forth continually. Each one is continually pouring his color into it through his own consciousness. Every activity of the outer that qualifies carries with it the inherent faculty of sound and color. No activity of any kind can take place which has not sound and color inherent within it. God's perfection naturally has no discoloration within it. Within the outer faculty which gives quality to a thing is where the discoloration takes place. Every student must take the responsibility of his own activity in qualifying the energy he sends forth. The mind cannot act upon anything that has not intelligence inherent within it. Do not allow yourself, in the human sense, to consider the element of time in anything you do, but enter into a thing joyously and stick to it until it does manifest. Be like a blowtorch. If you will hold steady on the mighty God presence as the actor doing the thing, you will enter into the fullness and perfection of everything ready for your use now. All permanent accomplishment must be by the self-conscious effort of the individual. Question: what is sympathy? Answer: it is but agreement with imperfection. Whatever you do, be adamant before human sympathy. Watch that you do not allow yourself to be dragged down into quicksand when you can use wings to lift yourself above its destruction. Judge not, but keep joyously entering into the I Am Presence, and all things will manifest perfectly. For any imperfect condition, especially old age, use I Am the perfection of that individual. No matter what is said in the outer world, you must be unaffected by it, for you are coming to this perfection, and you must bring it about consciously. If you do not watch, you can let in an expression in a moment that can follow you for years if you do not erase it. When you are consciously using the great law, know that the active power of God's thought knows its direction goes and performs perfectly. Consciously charge the I am intelligence to use whatever is necessary. Say, I am intelligence. Qualify this with whatever is required. For healing, I had one student who so qualified the electronic circle about him with the power of healing that he was called the healing shadow. Of course, it was not the shadow that healed, but the moment people contacted his electronic circle, they were healed instantly. Question: understanding God as love, why did God individualize himself? Answer: in order to have something to love. Question: why were the rays divided? Answer: in order to express love. Love is the active principle of God. When you are loving, you are enfolding what you are loving in that robe of God, that radiant presence and activity. Never condemn. Try always to understand whenever there seems to be a wrong sex activity. And lift the consciousness of the individual by focusing the attention upon a high ideal of some kind, in order to control the thought so the sex activity can come under conscious control of the individual through the use of his own will. The proper clean use of the sex is for the expansion and expression of love in the procreation of a form that the incoming soul may have an harmonious and loving disposition and temperament. The thought and feeling of the parents are the influencing molding activity. The nature of the life principle of the individual is to love. Benediction. Infinite God of love, we give thanks for thy gracious outpouring today, for thy mighty radiance filling all things everywhere. We give praise and thanks that we have entered into thy world, where everything is so fair, where thy radiance, creative with every thought, brings into perfection all things held within our thought. Notes. Raising the body. Nada raised her body 2,700 years ago. In the case of three raising the body at one time, they might ascend at the same moment or within a few weeks or months. Controlling an animal. Use I am here and I am there, and I command silence there. Also look the animal in the eye and know that the love of God controls it. The difference between divine compassion and human sympathy is as great as that between light and darkness. Divine compassion holds the student's attention anchored to the mighty I Am Presence, calling it forth to produce perfection. Human sympathy is a rushing forth of energy, qualified by a feeling of imperfection, and but intensifies the imperfection already manifesting.